The covenant keeping God. Glory to God. This is part three. Is that correct? I'm still going to part four. The covenant keeping God. And I want you to download all these messages, the entire series, and listen again. You don't hear everything in one service. Those of you who think you have a magnetic brain, I'm going to encourage you. Don't just write. Those of you that take notes in church, when you get home, revisit the note. And those who listen, who don't take notes, download the messages and listen again. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. Even though I know it's beyond the number of times you hear, but the number of times you hear also helps. Because every time you hear something different, something new. Something you thought you heard before, but you never heard. And as you increase in your honor for the Lord, you will hear the more. Praise God. The covenant keeping God. Psalm 89, verse 20 to 35. And I'll move on with the nuggets that I started with last week. Nuggets that could be derived, that the Holy Ghost has helped me to see in the battle between David and Goliath. David, a covenant-conscious man. Covenant-conscious 17-year-old at that time. Not even qualified to be enlisted in the Israeli army. But God had qualified him. And he went with the knowledge and the consciousness and the awareness of the covenant he had with God. The word of God says in Psalm 89 verse 20, I have found David my servant. I have found him. With my holy oil have I anointed him. God anointed him in 1 Samuel 16. If you read the entire chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was anointed. Saul had messed up in 1 Samuel 14, 15. And God sent Samuel to Saul to tell him, I have taken the kingdom from you, away from you, and I've given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. God's searchlight beamed on the nation of Israel. And he found a willing heart, a robust heart for God, for the honor of God in a young shepherd boy whose family was not by any standard the most popular in Israel. They were not even popular at all. So unpopular was their family that when Saul the king asked his chief of army staff, whose son is that young man? Even the chief of army staff did not know. And at that time, David's older brothers were in the army. So they were just regular soldiers. Nobody cared about their family. They were not from a popular family. If they had been from a popular family, you had about three of them in the army, you should have known where they came from, where David came from. But they were not known. Your background is irrelevant to what God wants to do in your life. Did you hear what I said? My dad didn't go to school. My mom didn't go to school. Oh, I'm at a disadvantage. You are not at a disadvantage. Did you hear what I said? The children of a professor are not at a better advantage than you if you're a covenant-conscious child of God. It's not about what your parents have achieved. We've seen parents that achieve greatness, children achieve zero. We've seen parents that achieve zero, children achieve greatness. Every generation must take responsibility for their lives. Otherwise, the Bible makes it clear that even wealth does not endure throughout all generations. There were wealthy Nigerians, businessmen in Nigeria, we don't need to mention names, 40 years ago. Today, their children, grandchildren are paupers. And there were people whose parents were paupers 40 years ago who are in power now. Everyone must learn to take responsibility for their lives. All this blaming people for your failure, stop that nonsense. It was my uncle that didn't help me. It was my dad that failed to help me. He didn't send me to school. How long are you going to be telling that story? That story is not sweet. Brace up! Brace up! If you have God, then the future ahead of you is bright. Can I have an amen? Because according to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, the path of the just is as a shining light, and it is programmed to shine more and more, brighter and brighter. It will almost blind your enemies. There's a future for you in Christ. Can I have an amen? So stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming. Don't join them to blame Nigeria, blame economy, blame the government. Leave all the blame for the blamers. You focus on your destiny. Focus on your destiny. Focus on your life. Light shines the brightest in the midst of darkness. Isaiah 60 and verse 1, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2, for the darkness shall cover the earth. Now, you join the darkness and be complaining. No! Gross darkness the people. Yes, gross darkness will cover the people. The word of God says that already. But what did it say about you? But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Can I have an amen? Amen. And his glory shall be seen upon you. Not the doom in the land. His glory on you. Doom may be in the land, but on me, glory. Can I have an amen? Amen. Say that. Say doom may be in the land, but on me, glory. Glory to God. So God said, I found David my servant. Psalm 89 verse 20. God found him. God found him. May God find you. He found him. What you seek is what you find. Jesus taught us that. You ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. You knock and it shall be opened unto you. God sought him out and God found him. He didn't say, I have seen David my servant. No, he said, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Say amen to that. And I will beat down his foes before his face. I will do that. So who beat down Goliath? Come on, talk to me now. Who beat down Goliath? It wasn't the dexterity of David that beat down Goliath. David didn't have the physical strength to beat down Goliath. Goliath was so big that he had an armor bearer that went in front of him. And the Bible records the weight of the beam of his spear. The spear that he could have thrown at David that was, you will not be able to pick the pieces, the body part of David. If that beam alone landed on his head would scatter all over the place. No neurosurgeon in this world would have been able to put together the nerves that make up the brain of David. But he went to that war with the consciousness of the one bigger than him, his covenant partner. The one that promised, I will beat down his foes before his face. So let them come against you. Right in your presence, God will beat them down. One person came to church. I don't like people wasting prayers. Are you sleeping? It's too early. It's too early. I said, God will beat down your foes before your face. It's sweet when you don't need to sweat to fight your enemies. It's sweet when you stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Let them gather together. God is beating them down in your presence. Can I have an amen to that? Many people don't know about this covenant. And that's why they mess up with people that are in covenant relationship with God. But they learn their lesson. He said, but now, and I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Kai. Somebody hates you alone. They become a hater. God said, I will plague them. You know what a plague is? A disease. A strange disease will just come on them for hating you. That's why it is none of your business to get in the business of hating people. Lest you also hate another person that is in a covenant relationship with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because we don't judge people right many times. We judge based on what we see, what we have heard, what we know, what we don't know. And you really don't know their relationship with God. So you are not supposed to be in the business of criticism or hating people. Thank God for their life. Is that what they are doing in their ministry? Glory be to God. You move on. Face your own business. It's not your business to be sitting down in every ministry and be criticizing what they do. Mind your own business. Face your life. Face front. The reason many people are not productive in this generation is because they don't mind their business. They can spend 48 hours on social media criticizing other people, joining the bandwagon. They say that thing is trending. And what is trending? Nonsense. Don't join them. Live a purpose-driven life. Every minute should count. Time your life. Every day must count. There must be tasks to achieve every day. At the end of the day, ask yourself, how many of those tasks have I achieved? Don't waste your life criticizing other people. It's none of your business. Let the critics continue to critique. Let us see whether they will build a house based on criticism. Let's see whether they will build a future on criticism. What's your father's profession? If they give birth to a child and the child goes to school, what's your father's profession? Criticism. Don't join them. Don't join the bandwagon. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your data. Thank God it's now even more expensive. Let me move on because I want to give you the nuggets this morning and I want to at least make some points. And we looked at that battle in 1 Samuel 17. Remember that David actually didn't go to fight. He went to give food to his brothers. 1 Samuel 17. And so he happened to bump into the menace that was threatening the entire nation of Israel. And who was defying the armies of the living God. And this man had done that 40 days. 40 is a symbolic number in the Bible. Jesus went fasting how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. Isaac was 40 when he got married. Moses was 40 when God called him. He ran away for another 40 years and came into the ministry at 80 and lived up to 120. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. 40, 40, 40. The children of Israel were supposed to take a journey of 11 or 14 days, and they took that journey for 40 years in the wilderness. They were in bondage for 400 years. Actually, some translations say 430 years, almost 11 generations, because 40 years is one generation. So the number 40, because the Bible is a book of numbers, is very symbolic in the Bible. Goliath came out every day. Go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening. Are you there, people of God? And presented himself, how many days? 40 days. He presented himself 40 days. Now, something happened in the realm of the spirit. The moment that threat clocked 40. There are certain numbers you should watch out for in your life. When I was going to turn 40, I went to my father in the Lord and I said, Father, you need to pray for me. He said, why? I said, I'm turning 40. I want you to talk to me and I want you to guide me because I have not been 40 before. And I want you to specially pray. And you know, I don't normally come to demand prayer, but this one, I want you to pray for me because I'm about to enter 40. Boy. And in my 40s, where I still am right now, I have seen the kind of trials and tests that I've never seen all my life. And when you see those kind of trials and tests, you also see the kind of victories that you have never tasted before. Did somebody hear what I said? 40. Very important. Don't enter it carelessly. I know many of you are not 40 yet. When you are about to, remember what I'm sharing with you today. Don't enter it carelessly. Don't enter it carelessly. The moment his threat clocked 40 days, something happened in the realm of the spirit. All of a sudden, a man called Jesse just woke up on that 40th day. Why had he not been sending David to the battlefront? Why not the first week go and see your brothers? Why not when it was 21 days, or when it was 20 days, or when it was 25 days? Why not even when it was 39 days? But the moment the threat of Goliath clocked 40 days, the Bible says, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now, something now. Come on, respond well. Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. Why that sense of emergency and urgency? Why? Why? Because in God's agenda, the number 40 has a meaning. It has a significance. He had threatened them for 39 days now. 40th day, boom, Jesse suddenly woke up. David, take ephah of corn. Now, take 10 loaves of bread. Now, take it to the war front. Run. David, run. Why that urgency? Something was going on. Something had been activated in the realm of the spirit. I pray for you, whatever has reached its time of judgment in your life, may God judge it now. Some things should not linger. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. So they had a captain of 1,000. That was the way they were distributed in the Israeli army. So you have the captain over 10, over 1,000, then captain over maybe 5,000, captain over 10,000. So they were up to 1,000 at least, minimum. None of them could beat Goliath. 1,000. The tallest man. It's good to be tall. Glory be to God. And look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Take word from them, bring it back to me. That's take their pledge. Look how they are faring, check their welfare, and then take their pledge. So you come back to me and assure me that they are fine. Not that the assurance he would get was the head of Goliath. David brought the head. He brought the head back home. Sir, this is it. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this season of your life, whatever battles you are going through, you will come back with the head of Goliath. Amen. You will come back with the symbol of your victory. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whether it's a mental health challenge, whether it's a financial embarrassment, whether it's an academic insult, whatever it is, whether it's a satanic assault over your life and family, you will come back with victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say an amen that is alive. Amen. Now, Saul. And they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, the minor ones, facing them. And David rose up early in the morning, very early. There's something about early rising. Rise early and capture your day, I beg you. Young people, don't be sleepy, oversleeping till 6 a.m., 6:30. I understand you. Some of you that say you don't join the Tuesday morning early morning prayer on MixLR, but you like to join in the evening. Evening is fine, but be an early riser. Be an early riser. If you need to go to bed early, go to bed early so that you can rise early. Capture your day. Capture your day. Stop chatting and wasting away your time all night on Snapchat, Instagram, and then you don't go to bed until 4 a.m. So by 6, it's impossible to get up. Job said, have you commanded your morning? Do you realize that God daily loads us with benefits? According to Psalm 68. There is something about early rising. In Mark 1:35, the Bible says Jesus arose very early before day and separated himself into a solitary place and there prayed. 7:30, you are still sleeping. Don't be irresponsible. Capture your morning. Capture your day. Even if it's a public holiday, yeah, you want to sleep a little extra, still wake up. Capture your morning. Capture your day. Capture it. Capture it. I like to capture it before they start with their hello, Akubaru. That doesn't stop me. It cannot stop my prayer anyway. But I like to rise before that time. David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. What an obedient boy. It's not convenient for me. How can you tell me to go to the battlefront? After all, they didn't enlist me in the army. What if a stray bullet hits me? I'm not prepared for war. Why should I go and give them bread? Some children argue with their parents. If you are such a person, let that argument die in this service this morning. Let it die forever. Never you dishonor your parents. Dishonor will cut you off from hearing God. Dishonor will cut you off from the blessing. Never you dishonor your parents. Your dad is not born again. That's not what I'm talking about. Mom is not born again. That's not what I'm talking about. Never you dishonor your parents. It is never to your honor. Don't sow the seed of dishonor. If you sow it now, you reap it later. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap later than you sow. Sow seeds of honor. Instant obedience. The same that God found in Abraham. Abraham, today, circumcise every male child in your house, including you, 99-year-old man, to bring out his equipment for circumcision. How humiliating that was, number one. Number two, how painful. At 99, you can't, throughout that day, you can't urinate. If it's coming, you hold it. Because if it comes out, it is with great pain. But guess what Abraham did? Instant obedience. All of you guys, file out. Ladies, go to your rooms now. Go to your ladies' hostel. Now, go. All guys, move to this side. And they came. Dad, we are here. So what's going on? All of them. Over 318 slaves in his house. Born in his house. Servants. Born in his house. Male. God has appeared. Okay, again. Today we are going to circumcise. What's the meaning of that, sir? We will circumcise. I can imagine some of them. This man will kill us today. If this is the way this man has planned to us, let him release us so we can go back to our father's house. Go back to our extended family members. They have never had that before. There are times God will give you strange instructions, but they will be rooted in his word. And they will not be convenient on your flesh, never. But they are for your good. Did you hear what I said? If you captured it, very well. If you didn't, may God help you. Now, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse, his father, had commanded him. Had commanded him, not advised him, commanded him. One of the ways fathers talk to their children is by command. You are commanded. And if you're a true son, one of the signs you are a true son, whether spiritual son or biological son, is that you live a commanded life. But people get to a point, they get too big for their shoes, you can't tell them anything. As his father commanded him. And he came to the trench. Those of you that talk about trenches, David, trench. He came to the trench, and as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper, the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. He greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, as he was saying, oh, how are you doing, my brother? I hope you're fine. He was greeting all of them. You know, I hope everything's okay because daddy wants to know your welfare. And he said, I should bring this for you and this for the captain of thousands. I hope everything is fine. Don't worry. I believe that everything's going to be all right. He was still talking to them. As he was still talking to them, there was a roar from behind him. The man was a giant. Do you think he would be talking like a midget?
Hello. Israel, come.
No. I know some people have big bodies, tiny voice, not Goliath. Even his voice was Goliath. Deep baritone.
that reverberated through the camp of the Israeli army that made even Saul to shake. Very intimidating. Physique intimidating, voice intimidating, action intimidating, armory intimidating. Somebody was carrying his spear, sir. Now, the person was being paid salary for carrying the spear of Goliath. Just carrying the spear. Chamagbe spear, Kakrila, yeah. Just be carrying spear. That was all his job. He was not to fight in the battle, just carry the spear. He was his armor bearer. And Goliath was coming behind him. And the Bible says, and there came up the champion. Even the Bible calls him champion. The Philistine of Gath. This guy had a very wonderful CV. He was a Philistine. The Bible said the. It's like when they call you the Nigerian. The Nigerian of your state. No other person but you. Philistine, as a nation, they have about 5 major cities. Gath was one of them. Ekron was another. But Goliath was the main man in Gath. You can't go to Gath without paying obeisance to Goliath. So the Bible describes him by the Holy Ghost. He said, the Philistine of Gath. Then he now said, Goliath by even look at his name. Goliath by name. Only at a liar before you can face him. You know, some of this doesn't sound funny, but they are true. When I look at some names, I can tell how this person will behave. Man, fair boy, that name. There was a man in the Bible called Nabal. Nabal means stupid. And a woman married him, Abigail. 1 Samuel 25. He eventually died. David was going to kill him, but he died by himself. When he was told that David would have killed him, he now died. The wife said, my Lord, please don't kill him. As his name is, so is he. He said, the wife said so, his wife. I know him. He's a stupid man. His name means stupid. Ladies, may you never marry a stupid man. Yeah. Pastor, why do you love the ladies more than us? Guys, may you never marry a stupid lady. Yeah. So that your children are not stupidly raised. Because the women raise the children. But in some cases, children are raising women now. They are raising them. Mothers on TikTok. Removing their wrapper, undressing in front of camera for monetization. Mothers in their 40s, 50s, are the children not raising them now? Mothers, train up your children. Children now, train up your mothers. Now, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. The same words he had spoken for 40 days. This was the 40th day. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, when they saw him, what did they do? Well, come and talk to me, Joe. What did they do? They fled. He had not beaten them. They just saw him. Only yeah, what did they do? These were armies, soldiers, not civilians, and they were running just for seeing him. In other words, his physique was intimidating. But we have not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And of love and of a sound mind. And that was working in David. Look at it. The Bible says when the men of Israel saw him, they fled. They fled from him and were so afraid. They were not just a little bit afraid. They were S-O-R-E, so afraid. When you see so afraid in the Bible, it means so afraid. And the men of Israel said, they were talking to David, small boy that came to the battle, that brought food. They were now talking to him. He ran. I figure some of them were dragging him along. He said, don't drag me. Don't let me run. Don't let me fall now. What is it now? Where are you dragging me? He said, come. Then they said to him, have you seen this man that has come up? David said, surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with riches. That sounds good. And will give him his daughter. And make his father's house free in Israel. They will not pay taxes again. That offer sounded very good. Enrich him with great riches, one. Marry the king's daughter. You become the king's lord. Sounds good. David was a fine boy. Praise God. Number three, your family is going to be free. So when you win this victory, the blessings will not only come to you, it will also come to your family. I'm praying for someone this morning. I don't know what you're going through. You have the victory in Christ in the name of Jesus. And the blessings will not only rub off on you, but also rub off on your generations. Say better amen. And David speak to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done? You know, you hear certain things and then you ask again. Excuse me, I didn't hear what you said. That was what happened to David there. Because that offer was incredible. It was too fantastic to believe. What do you mean? So David said, he spoke to the men that stood by him and said, what shall be done? David, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They saw a giant. David saw an uncircumcised Philistine. The Yoruba Bible says, okunrin alaikola. Kokola. He was uncircumcised, meaning he was out of covenant with the God of Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The same man they ran away from, David was disdained at his sight. Who is this? There's a way somebody will ask you, it might be small, but they will point at you, who are you? You yourself, you will shake first. What kind of confidence does this guy have? And let me tell you, one of the things that the enemy will challenge in every battle of life is your confidence in God. Shena Kerub, in Isaiah 38, when he sent a word to Hezekiah, he said to him, he said, don't put your trust in any God anywhere. He said, I have defeated all the nations and their gods. Don't let Hezekiah confuse you. I am a warrior. I will finish everybody. But if you obey me now, I will take you away from your land to a land that is like your own. Similar to yours. Satan takes the original from you, gives you something counterfeit, similar to the original. Then he said to Hezekiah, for what confidence is this in which you trust? The enemy is always bothered when you are a confident Christian. When you pray confident prayers, bold prayers, the devil shakes. He likes you to pray in a way like you are a timorous cat. You are not sure whether God wants to do it or not. God, if it's your will, you may let my father be well. And if he's well, we will praise you. But if he's not well, but you are still God. That is not a confident prayer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't say, our God whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and if he doesn't deliver, it's okay, but we will not bow. We will not bow. We will not bow. No, they said, our God whom we trust shall deliver us. If so be that you cast us in the fire, if it be not so, meaning if you change your mind about casting us into the fire, we still want you to know that even that favor that you think you have done us, we will not still bow before your image. That was what they said. It was not, whether he saves or does not save, whether we get to heaven or make it to hell, God is still God. We are going to church. We don't know whether we will even make heaven. That's the meaning of Orumila. It's only heaven that knows those that shall be saved. Are you saved? What nonsense. People are neither here nor there. They are fickle in their conviction. If I know that God does not answer prayer, I will stop praying. But I do know that he answers. He has answered me. So the areas where I've not seen manifestation, I keep praying. Because this is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John 5:14. That whatsoever we ask according to his will, we know that he heareth us. Verse 15, and if we know that he heareth us, whatever we ask, then we know, we genasko, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We don't pray like people who are not sure. Are you even sure Jesus is alive? Well, the Bible says so. We don't really know God. They've been telling us he's alive, he's alive. I've not seen him before, Shah. What kind of Christian are you? That's different from a Christian that tells you he's alive and well, he lives in me, he's in my heart. And this morning we've had fellowship. I can tell you he's well, he's not in the hospital. And if you're in the hospital, we'll raise you up this morning. Can I have an amen? Your timer is no longer working. This was the genesis of the battle. We've read the battle before. Next week, I will go to the end of the battle. So I backpedal to the genesis for you to know where David was coming from. And the people answered him after the same manner. This manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down thither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for you come down that you might see the battle. Stupid boy. You like to Suluma Kinde. You like to I'm a boy. He was abusing David. Abusing their savior. As far as that battle was concerned. May you not insult your helper. Eliab. Eliab. But with his chest, he could not face Goliath. Because Eliab, Goliath. David, fine boy, nothing about his chest, but his confidence, his unshakable confidence in the Yad-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Almighty God of Israel. Are you with me, church? David had him, gave him an answer. Sometimes you keep quiet. Silence might be the best answer for a fool. The Bible says, answer not a fool. But the same Bible also says, answer a fool, so that you think he's very wise. So there's a time to not answer a fool. There's a time to answer a fool. There are times you will abuse me. I will not talk. I will walk away. But there's a time you try it, you regret your life. I will give it to you because I have an answer ready from the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, answer not a fool. The same book of Proverbs says, answer a fool. So the wisdom there is to know when to not answer and when to answer. If you answer when you're supposed to be quiet, you will be fighting your battle for yourself. There are times God wants you to be quiet, be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. There are times like that. But there are times to speak to your mountain. Open your mouth and speak. So wisdom says, Lord, when do I keep quiet? When do I speak? This is how to approach life. Somebody's harassing you in your place of work. A lecturer is harassing you in school. There's a time to be quiet. Ask, Lord, when is it to be quiet? And when is it time to talk, Lord, what do I say? So David gave him an answer. His brother was a fire extinguisher. He wanted to kill the fire in David. But David answered him. And David said, what have I done now? What have I now done? Give me a check. Is there not a cause? But Eliab lacked that understanding. There was no cause. But David is asking, is there not a cause in Jekohani DB? Somebody's rubbishing the God of Israel. And I'm asking questions. And you are lampooning me for that. Is there not a cause? Notice David did not insult him. Gave him a wise answer. And he turned away from him. I like David. He turned from him. He faced another person. And sometimes you need to know certain people. You zone them. Zone them to a different zone. Zone them to a corner. Move on. Because if you stay with a wet blanket is an English expression for someone who is a PhD holder in discouragement. There are certain people, if you ever share your dream with them in your life, that's the end of that dream. They will tell you it will never see the light of day. He can't work in Nigeria. That kind of course, that kind of business, he doesn't work in Ibadan. Ibadan is too dry. Ibadan is not dry for me. wet, rich, green, full of potential, and I'm blessed and highly favored in Ibadan. Can I have an amen? Amen. If that's your experience, say the same thing over yourself. Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another. And look at David. He was consistent. He wanted to be sure what he was hearing. Speak after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. They repeated what they said. So when that was going on back and forth, somebody took those words to the king. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. What did David speak? David said, what shall be done for the man who takes away this reproach from Israel and defeats this uncircumcised Philistine who has defied the arm of the living God? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Somebody picked those words and went to rehearse them in the ears of Saul the king, who was chilling in a corner. And guess what happened? Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail them because of this guy, this idiot. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. In fact, in his mind, David said, I will kill him. What did you say? You're a little boy. I will kill him. I will K-I double hockey sticks him. Americans say, I'm going to kill him. I swear, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I will kill him. King James English, I will smite him. Smite and slay him. I will kill him. Now look at Saul. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine, to fight with him, to even fight, let alone kill. For you are but a youth, but he is a man of war from his youth. He's garnered many years of experience in warfare science. David said to Saul, sir, let me tell you a little bit of my experience. You must be armed with your testimony every time. Did you hear what I said? If God ever healed you of a toothache, never you forget in your life. If God ever saved you from an embarrassment, never forget. Even if it's a 50 naira embarrassment that God saved you from, never forget. It's your testimony. Did you hear what I said? It is your testimony. If God ever blessed you, God ever rescued you from death, it is your testimony. Always rehearse it. Say it again and again. People say, you've shared that testimony. Is it your testimony? It is mine. I will share it and share it and share it. Sir, there was a day, sir. Your servant kept his father's sheep, referring to himself. And there came a lion. Another time, it was a bear. And took a lamb out of the flock. If I were the one, I would come to church and do thanksgiving. Praise the Lord, church. A lion came to my father's farm and took a lamb. He didn't take me. Glory be to God in the highest. Not David. You took what does not belong to. How many sheep do we have? My father has only few. You know Eliab said it. With whom did you leave the few sheep in the wilderness? So his father's sheep must be few. Are you getting what I'm saying? Out of the few, Eliab now came to pick one. Did I hear somebody say, come out in Nepal, Louis? How many sheep do we have? You now came to steal one. David went after him. He said, I went. No man ever goes after a lion. A lion has never seen a man chasing him before. He's an anathema. It's strange. A man will chase a lion. Never. See, he said, I went after him. Huh? I went out after him. David, you saw a lion running away like this with an animal in his mouth. And you were chasing the lion. If somebody on the way, I said, where are you going? What are you chasing? I said, I'm chasing a lion. You are chasing a jump on Okada and disappear from that scenario. David chased the lion. I figured the lion ran to a point. Lion looked back and saw somebody coming after him. I said, this cannot be a human being. It must be a lion being. Because it takes a lion to chase after a lion. Normally, a human being does not chase a lion. So the lion had suffered some psychological stress for some moment. There was post traumatic stress disorder that came on the lion. Depression came. Anxiety disorder came. Panic attack came. That a human being, no, a human being cannot, no. Am I seeing correctly? Before the lion could wrap his mind around being chased, the last time he checked, not even an elephant has chased him before. Because according to Proverbs 30, verses 29 to 30, it says there be three things that go well. This is what it means to go well. Waka well. There be three things that go well. Yea, four are comely in going. Comely in going means they walk properly. It's a stately stride. I don't understand the way some of you walk. You don't bounce. Your legs are scattered. No. I mean, there's a way you carry yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're a lady, it's called catwalk. Are you getting what I'm saying? A lady is not supposed to be walking like this. What's your problem? Even guys, I mean, there's a way you walk. I mean, and it shows that you're confident. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying, church? The Bible says there be three things that go well. Yeah, four are comely in going. Number one among the four that are comely in going, number one is the lion. Somebody say the lion. The Bible says, which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any. Eh? The Bible says the lion is the strongest among beasts and it does not turn away from any. Strongest among beasts does not mean that physically it is the strongest. But the lion has a mindset, I am the strongest. Who crowned the lion the king of the jungle? The lion just carries the mentality, I'm the king here. I'm the king. I'm the best. I'm the best. In your field, carry that mentality. I'm the best. I'm the best writer around here. I'm the best event manager around here. I'm the best accountant here. I'm the best graphics person. I'm the best orator here. I'm the best doctor in this school. I'm the best. You carry that mentality. The lion does not suffer superiority complex to any other animal. And when the lion kills another animal, it does not apologize because it's in his DNA to kill. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when a lion saw a human being for the first time chasing him, it was strange. It was eccentric. It was odd. What? So before he could recover from the shock of being chased, as he turned around, David grabbed the animal from his mouth and dropped it gently. Eh? Such audacity. You didn't even run. You had the time to take the animal and put it on the floor gently. I trust you, David did not throw away that animal. Put him down gently. David was a shepherd boy. A true shepherd cares for the sheep. You care for the state of your sheep. You don't throw them around. You don't beat them on the head. That's a hireling. A hireling is different from a shepherd. That's why it's important where you go to church. There are churches where what they look for only is the number. Let's fill up the auditorium. We run three services, five services, as if that's the hallmark to enter heaven. Do they care about the true state of their sheep? Where they don't care about the souls of their people. David was a shepherd boy. Took care of the animal and the lion faced him. You. That was a mortal combat. Do you agree with me? In that fight, somebody must die. Because it's either the lion died or David died. Somebody had to die. That's called a mortal combat. This is not a fight that want to get the belt. The other person will go with bruises, and me too, some bruises and sweat. This was not just sweat and blood. This was life and death. This was life and death. Kido Bahaste. The lion had never seen a human being fighting before. Some of you will grab some situations. Those situations had never been embarrassed before. You will embarrass them. Whatever has been harassing your entire lineage, it harassed your grandfather, your great-grandfather, even your father, and now it's beginning to come on you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will kill that situation. It was strange. Lion was still trying to recover. What is going on? David caught him. David said, when he turned against me, I caught him by the beards. I caught him by what he had. He helped me to bring the weapon to kill him to war. Just like Goliath brought the sword with which David cut off his head. David didn't have a sword. Skillful guy. The enemy will show you his loophole, and that's how to overcome. the Lord will open your eyes to see. He grabbed him by the beard. He said, and I can imagine David rolling with that guy. And that guy roaring with all his mouth wide open. And the canine, the, what do you call those things again? The incisors, the scissors, the blade, the molar, the fangs, the paws, the paws. Even if a lion holds you alone, you are heard. May it never happen to you in Jesus' name. Sitting gently and then in your friend's house, and their Rottweiler just comes without barking. And just licks your hair. You know those policemen that normally jump into people's cars. And you have your tinted glass. You have your rot. You are just bringing it from the veterinary where it has been given injection. And the thing is already very angry. Where's your paper? They used to do it. They stopped it. They would jump into your car. They stopped it. They learned by experience. All the dog needs to do is lick your ear. He said, bros, wait till you put it in my car. He said, no, let's go. Shebi, you say we are going to the station. Let's go to your station. No, bros, our person to follow you, please stop. Let me get down. He struggles to get down. You've locked the door. Then he begins to hear the growl. Just the growl alone. The guy is win-win in his pants. Bros, now, I beg. You can't even shout. Because if you shout, the dog can bite you for shouting. That's a dog. Can you now imagine David holding hands with the lion, locking hands with the lion, face to face? The lion was looking at David. David was looking at the lion. Sandalabahaya. Face to face. Or do you assume this was the place where David will be looking away? You can't afford it. You have to face your fears. Lion looking at him. David looking at the lion. Today somebody will kill somebody. And you are the one to die. It's not me. I will kill you. I can imagine both of them rolling on the floor. And they get up again. Do you think it was an easy battle? I just caught him by David and I smote him. No. You know, we read certain things in the Bible. We think, oh, it's just easy. Easy peasy. No. Dirty fight. Dirty fight. Dirty fight. He dragged the lion. You think, at that point, do you think the lion will want to run away? Lion would not want to run away. He said, this one, you took the animal, I will chop you. And David said, today, you are asun. We'll use it for asun. You are not going anywhere. Nobody ever tried that in the lineage of David. Nobody ever went home with a lion on his shoulders. Hello, daddy, who is at home? Let me get some firewood. And daddy, can you imagine Jesse coming out of the room? David! Because even when a lion is dead, sir, he's still a lion. If you came to church this morning, God forbid, and they said there was a dead lion in the ark. He's dead, though. He's dead. Don't be afraid. I see, see. You might not even wait around here because you don't know if he now wakes up. For you to know how intimidating a lion could be. But David, a young man. See, let me tell you something. It wasn't funny when David was going through all of that. God was training him for mortal combat, higher than what his brothers were used to. Some of you are going through certain things right now in your life, and you're wondering, God, why? Why me now? Of all people, are they doing me? Why? Why me? I mean, why did you select me for this kind of cross to carry? Why? You know why? Because of the size of your destiny. David was going somewhere that his brothers had never been before and they would never be. Do you realize that journey led him to the throne and he became king of Israel eventually? Tell me any of his brothers that was a prince. You know, when you're already a prince, there's a tendency that someday coronation might fall on you. He was not a prince. It was out of the order, out of the ordinary. And so when certain things begin to happen in your life, please pause. Don't drink chemical to kill yourself. Don't commit suicide. Just pause and say, okay, now this is very odd. Why is everything happening to me? My life is not a straight line like my friends. It's just a zigzag. I make one step forward and then like four steps backward. God is saying something. Are you getting what I'm saying? It might be the enemy that has occasioned all of that. It wasn't God that sent that lion to go and steal an animal. It just did happen. And the enemy meant to actually kill David. He was going to be king of Israel, and he didn't want him to be. But because God was with him, and when God gets into a battle with you, you are sure of victory. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many lion killers do we have in the house this morning? Shout, let me hear you shout. Number one nugget I gave you last week, I'll wrap it up. Face your fears. Face your fears. The same way David faced that lion, same way he faced Goliath. Do you think when he faced Goliath, he was looking away? He was shy? Oh, no, guy, no. Don't be cursing me. Don't be cursing me in the name of your God. Do you know that when that guy saw David, he cursed David in the name of his God? I can imagine him. Ashtaroth, Ashtaroth, Ashtaroth. I saw that drooling out from his mouth. He called David. Am I a dog? Yes, you are. You just called yourself one now. Glory to God. The enemy will call himself what he is and will treat him like that. The same God that domesticated the lion, the same God that domesticated the bear, the same God will domesticate this Goliath of Gath because he's an uncircumcised Philistine. Did God do it or not? Did God do it or not? Is the lion a domestic animal? You just be giving punches and you fight and you kill it. A bear. When a bear stands, it's the height of a human being. We don't have many of them around here. Go to America. They cross the road with style in the U.S. And because they have animal protection laws, in their laws, number one, I think children or women. Number two, women or women first, then children second. I think it's the child first and then the mother, two. Number three, the animal. Number four, the last, man. We are an endangered species. According to their laws, I was in Maryland in the U.S. some time ago. And in the house where I was staying, there was a tree. So there were trees, actually, in the garden. And squirrel, you know squirrel? Okere. Okere, sherry, coco, lawo. The thing was running to my flat where I was sitting. And it would come and hit the door. Bah! And then run back. Brrr! It would come back. Brrr! Fat ones. They eat booger. I told my host, I said, do you have catapult? He said, no. He said, Pastor Fred, what do you want to use catapult for? I said, the Mokola boy in me wants to emerge. In our house where I grew up, we had pakute. You know pakute? Traps for okete. Do you know okete? Bush rats, the fat ones. And we used to put maize inside as the bait. And you open it. It has a spring. The thing comes to eat the maize. Pah! Omo. There was one big brother in our house, Sajuli. Sajuli was the expert in killing them. He will open the trap. He will go inside with his hand and pull it out by the tail. And he will roll it, fear, fear, fear. And then hit it on the floor. Pah! The thing will stretch. My own job was to take it up from there. Take it to the fire. Roast it. After roasting, the hands will turn like this. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? My goodness, soup was going to be ready, baby. I said, soup was going to be ready, baby. And then I dissected it, even though I didn't read medicine and surgery, but I know how to dissect the internal, the anatomy of an okete. You open it up, you bring out the gallbladder that can make everything go bitter. Okay, take out the organs, take out everything, wash it, clean it up, and then begin to butcher it. Sometimes it went for pepper soup, sometimes it went for a goosey soup. Anybody knows what I'm talking about here? Some folks, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You're too posh for that. A dog is a domestic animal normally, but a lion is not. But God domesticated that lion for David. God domesticated the bear for David. God domesticated Goliath for David. Whatever you are going through right now, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, it is not going to kill you. Amen. God will domesticate it for you. Amen. Can I get a better amen? Amen? So the number one thing to learn from that encounter is to face your fears. Stop running away from your fears. Let me end where I ended last week, and I thought I would take it up from there today. 1 Samuel 17, when the battle was going to start, after they had exchanged words, I will go to words next week. After they exchanged words and exchanged words back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now go to verse, yeah, so let me take it from verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. Can you see that? Can you see that, church? And when the Philistine looked about, he had to look about because David was not very tall. David was like me, I believe. The man looked about like, where is the champion that wants to dare me? And then he was disgusted when he saw a little boy. And the little boy didn't come with swords and spears. He came with a sling stone in his hand, slingshot. And then he had his shepherd's bag where he had kept his 5 smooth stones. And so he saw David and he disdained him. What the heck? What the heck? For he was but a youth and ruddy. Eggy. In London, we call such people eggy. When you're around, it's the London language. Eggy. He's getting an eggy. You know, it's just fine, boy. Like, you can be straight in Nigeria, but when you go to London and you spend 2 years and you've eaten burger and all that, then you come home to show. Eggy. David was eggy because he was at home with the father, taking care of the father's sheep. And so he had food to eat regularly. Fine boy. Didn't look like a warrior. No biceps, triceps, 6 packs. No, like Peter Cash. David didn't have all of that. It was like me. Abibeko. And of a fair countenance. I mean, that guy was good to look at. Bible says he was of a fair countenance. He was a good to look at boy. And you know, normally, fine boys like us, people assume we don't know how to fight. And you know how to fight. And just intimidate them. They run away. Not my mother. You get a slap from outside. You run to my mama. She gives you double at home. So next time you don't come back home, go back. Then you go back. The guy that slapped you might have forgotten. Now he's at home. He's eating his food. You go to his house. Ah! Oh, my God. My upbringing was something. But I bless God for my upbringing, man. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's useful for me today. And I can tell my kids, hey, life is not like this, oh. Life is no. And in Mokola, because I trained my boy. One day, one boy was making this up. He said, oh, Robo. My son said, I will beat you. He said, you beat me. The boy was selling pepper. He put his pepper down. They engaged. When my boy pulled him here. After beating him, he now went to his pepper. Fear! Ah! I wasn't there. My mother-in-law said, hey, it's ready. It took 2 weeks. Or my mother-in-law sermonizing him. A pastor's son does not fight. A pastor's son does not. You can't be fighting like that. A pastor's son. One day, my mother-in-law was driving him home. He was going home with his grandmama. They were going to Lugweru. And then somewhere around LLA, roundabout, somebody hit their car. And my mother-in-law was one driving. A woman in her 70s. My little boy was in front. So as she parked like this to check what was happening, my boy jumped down. Went to the man. Why did you hit mama's car? Why did you hit my grandma's car? Grandma said, Tirini! I said, yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy. Lama jambidi dini lama. Some of his friends, they think because he's big, they can bully him. Try it. That boy, if he puts his hand on you like this, you will feel it. Training. In fact, I wanted to put him in judoka school sometime. I think judo school, Jerry. I'm still thinking about it. No, not to be fighting everybody. Just for self-defense. Just for self-defense. Just for self. Imagine if David had not been trained on how to use catapult. Let's not take away the place of skill. Don't put everything on prayer. Come on, come on, come on. Your skill is important. Your skill is important. In your place of work, you need to be skillful. If you're a programmer, program well. You're a barber, barb well. You're a fashion designer, design well. You're a medical student, be on top of your class. Your skill is important. God is going to bless you through your skill. When they say, who is the best violinist in Nigeria? I want David Olujimi to come up. And when they say, who is the best female violinist? Untelu Elegbe, glory be to God. When they Google for the best photographer in your field, your name should come up. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? And in the name of Jesus, we will get there. But don't just put it on prayer. Put it also on skill acquisition. Skill acquisition. David was a skillful guy. Look at the display of skill. He got the forehead of the guy. He didn't miss him. Sharpshooter. Fear. Obanipaka. That was the last time he ever spoke. One stone. Before he realized, you know, he was still coming. Before he realized it, the stone had hit him. Kilo ba mi eh? What touched me? Like Jesus said, who touched me? Goliath said, what touched me? Sorry, sir. The next thing was obituary, obituary, obituary. We, the entire Philistines of Gath, are not pleased to announce the transition of our champion, Goliath of Gath. Let's come back here. We're going to wrap it up here. What time is it? 11 o'clock. Are you guys getting blessed? Should I continue about 10 minutes? Or 5 minutes? Which one do you prefer, 5 or 10 minutes? You said 10 minutes. Glory be to God. The 10 have it. Don't worry. It's not going to go beyond 10. So put 10 on the timer. Your timer is not working. Oh my goodness. I would have stopped. Pastor, don't lie. Where are we? Verse 41. You know, I love this church, the living church. Amen. Now, the Goliath said, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? What's your business? What I came with? Am I a dog? Yes, you are. When did I become one? The moment you mentioned it. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. David fought him back by his own God, the living God of Israel. Everybody has some kind of God. That's why there is no room for anybody in this world that is just neutral. Even nature abhors vacuum. It's either you are serving the Almighty God or you are serving some God somewhere. In the business place, most people are not ordinary. The people that share shops with you, the people that are your business partners, the people that are your colleagues in office, some of them have their gods in their pockets, some of them under their bed. They service their altar, but you don't service your altar. Let me tell you, a part-time Christian cannot defeat a full-time devil. Did you hear what I said? You pray once in a week when it's convenient. Labaros to pete, likrokon to priahaste, eshtele hosta fruste, hizahala kote, and you sweat 1 hour. Glory to God. The next 5 days, I prayed 1 hour like 5 days ago. If I divide that 20 minutes every day, it covers me. No, that's not how to win in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? It has to be daily, daily, daily. Your altar needs to be hot, piping hot, piping hot every day, piping hot every day, piping hot every day. Let them hear your voice in heaven. Let them hear your voice on earth. Let them hear your voice in hell. That stubborn guy has woken up again now. Troublesome guy. Yes, that's hell complaining. Heaven is rejoicing. Hell is complaining. A few people on earth may also complain. But some, your prayer will set them into resonance. There's something called resonance in physics. When a body is vibrating and it has a particular frequency and another body is brought very close to that body, it will make him vibrate on the same frequency. It is called resonance. That's why somebody will be praying in the hostel next to yours at 4 a.m. And what you hear is karaba, kelebo, shadaba, rabakotele, rabadadiya, rabahaya. And you want to sleep small on your bed. But after about 5 minutes, you say, no, I'm not comfortable. Let me also get up. I'm telling you, somebody down the hall is also hearing your voice too. And you set them into resonance as well. Are you getting what I'm saying? I can't walk past a person praying and not pray. It's not possible. I went to UI many years ago. We finished service like this, Bible study at the temple, and I was taking some people back to their hostel as the pastor. I was taking them back to their hostel, some of our sisters in Expression House. You know, and we as we climbed the bridge, that bridge that goes to St. Anne's, that now goes to ISI Road and Edia Hall. You know, that bridge is really on the left here. I don't know what they call that. I can't remember the name of that road anyway. As I drove on that bridge, a brother in the dark. I didn't know him. I still don't know him. I just heard and I saw a young man who walked past my car. Katare bakuta rubasti alaba. I say, hey, kotolombro kotolia bahaya. Because prayer should set you into resonance. Because deep calleth unto deep. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let your life be an inspiration to other people. Let your life be an inspiration. Let people see the way you live your life and they want to serve your God. That's how to be a Christian. Not by preaching. The way you live. I was so blessed by Promise Isaac's testimony last Sunday. Some of his guys now are looking at him and like, what's the word this guy? Something has happened to him. Something has happened to this guy. Our guy before we say, Agba, wo, Alpha. But the guy is now saying, Omo, I got to be in church Sunday morning. You didn't go church. What's it worrying you? Man, I found something greater than what makes you guys high. I am now a child of the Most High God. Glory be to God. 3 minutes out of my 10 minutes. And I'm going to stop. I mean it. 10 minutes, I'm going to stop. Wherever 10 minutes clicks, your money has ended. The money you paid. Did you pay money for being here this morning? No, you didn't pay. Glory to God. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, with his baritone voice. Come to me. I wish mine was that deep. No, I don't wish. Come to me, and I will give thy flesh. Shall we go up and Lutoja? It was the one that started the wala for himself. David had not spoken about flesh. And I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air. And to the beasts of the field. And that was the last he had the opportunity to say on this side of eternity. Then David said, I can imagine David with the holy anger. Walaba. Today, you will give my flesh to the fowls of the air. See what the, look, imagine David. I will not stop. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's El Sabaoth, the God of angel armies. All the armies brought up their sword. Yes, we are here. David, ride on. Anytime you need us, we cut off his head. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, somebody said this day. David did not postpone it. Says that today. Today. This day will the Lord, Yadevaveh, deliver you into my hand. My hand. It is into our hand. Into my hand. I'm a small boy, but I got a big God. This day, not tomorrow, he gonna deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you. How, David? And I will take your head from thee. Prophetic words. No physical equipment in his hand to take off the head. But as he said it, did he not have it eventually? As you say, you will have it. Your confession will become your possession. Therefore, be careful what you say about yourself. This year, I'm winning a contract worth $1 million. Say that over your life. Say it over your business. I'm attracting a scholarship worth $250,000 this year. I'm attracting a grant for my study worth $100,000. That's how to think. Think in dollars. Amen. This year, I'm attracting customers that I've never attracted before.
in the likes of the wives of governors and senators and House of Reps members. Those are the kind of people that will form my clientele, because they will see my talent and they will come for me and they will send for me and I will do business with them. And enough is enough with obscurity. I'm coming to limelight by the power of the Almighty God. Can I have an amen? Amen. That's how to talk. Stop talking yourself down. I'm sick and tired. I'm just weary. I'm weak. I don't even know what to do with my life. I'm just even confused. That's why you're confused. I am not confused. Say, I am not confused. I walk in the light of the Holy Spirit. Look at what David said. David said, I'm going to take your head from you and I will give the carcasses of the host. Now, he only talked about the flesh of David. David amplified it. Carcasses of the host of the Philistines, I will give. Only you, David. How? He was talking too big. Let me ask you, how big is your God? The reason some people have fought me till this day is my confession. When I say, I am going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm trusting God for this, I say, kill my sheboy, you know. And I'm seeing it happen in my life. We will use $70 million to renovate this place and to buy new equipment, and it will happen. When I was going to get married, I desired to use a limousine for my wedding. Oh, people are fighting me till today. They didn't have a car. They now went to rent a limousine. Does that make any economic sense? Your own economic sense. What has it brought to you? Instead of fighting me, why don't you use that energy to develop yourself? Why is somebody enjoying the meal? Another person is feeling the pain. Christendom. God told me years ago, let me give you for free. He said to me, if you bother yourself about what people are going to say about my blessings in your life, you will never enjoy the blessings I bring your way. Because the kind of blessings I want to give you, if you subject them to people's opinion, you will not enjoy them. Because you will say you don't want. God, don't give me brand new, you know, the way the economy is right now. People around, they will say, I use church money. That was church money I used to buy the car. A pastor cannot wear a new shirt. Say, church, go and check the church account. Oh. Do they have an accountant? I have auditors. See, child of God, live your life. You have only one slot. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know. Look at the way he rounded it off. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He returned the battle back to God. God said, yes, they will know I'm here. I am El Elohe Israel. God, the God of Israel. Michael. He said, sir, yes, sir. We are happy. David picked. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord. God said, yes, yes, yes. But why did he commit? Wow, this guy has committed us. We have to fight. The battle is the Lord. Every time the Lord hears the battle is the Lord, he will fight. He's a man of battle. A jaguma fiti bonche. Baba miyawok awoshokudo kemberebi jakadi. How do I say that in English, man? I don't even know how to say it in English. There are certain ways you praise God, and it's just in Yoruba that it flows. I don't know about your other languages, but the Igbos too have theirs, like the Agun Nechemba. Ezendeze. The Akwa Ibom people, they have theirs too. They have theirs. Hausa people, they call it Obangiji. Yoruba, plenty. Yoruba has so many names for God. They even call him Olorukotopo, Olorukorepete, Anyinyito, Akikito, Akpepeto, Asasato. Your praise is your weapon, right? David said, the battle is the Lord's. And hey, guy, listen. And it will give you into our hands. We are not the one to defeat you. God will give you into our hands. And when he does that, we kill you. And it came to pass. This is where I'm stopping. And it came to pass. When the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, then, okay, that David hasted
and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. That's called facing your fear. Man to man. You match up. Man to man. Are you going to face your fear? Look at the place of skill. Next verse. And David put his hand in his bag. Somebody say skill. And took then the stone and slung it. He was still running when he did this. He was running towards the guy. The guy was still thinking, which side am I going to cut? Is it his head or chest? He's a small boy. How do I dissect him? The guy was still thinking. David was running towards him, and as he was running, he put his hand in the pocket. Kai, skill. He was able to run and to put his hand in his pocket to choose a smooth stone. He was able to choose while running. Multitasking, multi-talented guy, multifaceted. Every child of God, you have the Holy Ghost, you must be multitasking and multifaceted. Multi-dimensional in your operation. Don't tell me it's only one thing I know how to do. You can do many things. Paul said, I can do how many things? Through Christ who strengthens me. David was running. He put his hand and then he took the stone. And while he was still running, he slung it while running on motion. On motion, David was a Mokola boy. David grew up in Mokola. Sorry, the other people. And smote the Philistine in his forehead. Skill. Somebody say skill. He had a target. He went for the forehead. That the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Praise God. Stand on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. When you get home on your own, go back and read this story. You'll see that the armory that the guy was wearing covered almost every part of his body. But the forehead was vacant. And David went for the vacant place. The weak point. May God give you skill. May God give you wisdom. It's not everything that is by strength. Certain things you do by wisdom. Wisdom can solve a problem. Wisdom. It's not always money you need. You are raising money everywhere. Wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall give him. Talk to God this morning. Say, Father, I ask for your wisdom. This month, I want to walk in divine wisdom. Talk to God, everybody. Talk to God, everybody. We're closing now. Ushers, bring the communion elements. We're going to ask for wisdom. This month, I must walk in covenant wisdom. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Talk to God. Talk to God. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom for relationships. Wisdom to manage people. Wisdom to handle your business. Wisdom to relate to your parents, to your siblings, to your friends, and to enemies. Wisdom, the wisdom of God. Put James 1:5 on the screen for me. Larabaskata yalabahaya. Everybody, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. James 1:5, KJV. Lakanterebo siaba. I want to hear you pray, church. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Kasakata yalaba. Kasakata yalaba. Kasakata yalaba.